Welcome to CWH, a weekly broadcast with my dad, Pastor Salem. For over 45 years, CWH has proclaimed the good news of the gospel. In today's message, Complete in Christ, Dad reminds us that everything we need is in Jesus Christ.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I know some of you have been with us, some of you have been with us for 20, 25 years. We've almost been 40 years. And some of you go way, way back. And so some of you are new, some of you are old-timers. But anyway, we just welcome you, and we're going to have a wonderful time because today we're going to talk about being complete in Christ. Everything we need, everything we have to have. We're talking about things eternal, and we're talking about things temporal. And that is, it's all in Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything we need. But before that, let's look at some of the letters. We still want to thank you for the letters. Just love to hear from you. Here's one from Baker, Montana. And they write, I'm trusting for some pages of your from your Bible studies. We use them for our Bible studies for our assisted living. We all appreciate them. Have some dear ladies to share with us too. And so here's this Baker, Montana. What are they talking about anyway? Bible studies. They're talking about what we call the new song. New song. Every month we have a new Bible study. And you hear these folks are using it in their retirement home and so forth. And they're sometimes used in churches and their Sunday schools. And when at the end of the service, you can just put your pencil and paper, get it ready. We'll tell you how you can get the new song. And it's free and send us every month. I know you're going to like it. Well, here's Armour, South Dakota. I do like this letter here. Listen to this. I watch your ministry on Sundays when I can and enjoy it, and the reading of the letters. We have quite a bit in common. Like you, my name is Harold. I like the man right now. Isn't that a nice name, Harold? I don't know why these people don't name their sons Harold. But I guess they just, you know, it's just one of those mysteries of life. Here's his name is Harold. It's just a wonderful name. I'm glad my mother named me that because that's what everybody calls me. So that just worked out beautiful. Well, he says, like you, I grew up on a farm. Yes, like you, I was a sheep herder. And you're right, they are dumb. You can't argue that. I lost my wife to Jesus almost 5 years ago. I know she's waiting for me. I'm handicapped and homebound, but Jesus has provided. Over the last 10 years or so, when the doctors didn't think I'd make it, he gave me an extension several times. One I know for sure was a miracle because an angel in my sleep told me, Jesus loves you. I know he does. And they can't go wrong with that. That's exactly right. Jesus does love us. And you say, well, I got a lot of sins. Listen, he loves you. He wants you to come to Jesus and get rid of those sins. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. And then here's a letter we have from Snohomish in Washington. You remind me of my grandfather who came from Norway, settled on a farm close to Winger, Minnesota. He was a lay preacher and he helped establish Lutheran churches in the area. My grandparents had 5 daughters. When my grandma was 34, she passed away. But on her deathbed, she said she could see Jesus coming to get her. My mother told me about what she had said when I was a young girl, probably 10 years old or so. The testimony convinced me that Jesus was real and has been real to me ever since. Now I'm 85 years old, and Jesus is just as real to me today. He has been so merciful and faithful to me and my whole family. God bless all of you who partake in your services. The Lord is using you to bring souls into his kingdom. And so here is a mother, and when she died, she said that she saw Jesus coming to get her. And you know, that's what Jesus says. He says that when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with us to take our hand and carry us through. We'll never be alone. And that's what David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. I fear no evil. And he says, I'll tell you why I don't fear evil, because thou art with me. Jesus is with me. Now, David didn't know Jesus like we know him, but that's exactly who he's talking about, Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus and you come to that last hour and that last day, as we all will, unless the Lord returns, then he'll take some of us up bodily. But if you had died, Jesus will be right there. You'll never be alone. And you just have to say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. See, you promised to follow him. Jesus says, turn from your ways. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Have a different thought. Think thought in your minds. Think differently about God and about life and about what you're doing. And I'll follow you the best I can. You'll never be perfect, so don't get uptight about it. You're going to fail and fail as long as you're in this life. But you say, if we confess our sins, he'll faithfully and just to forgive us our sins. You just ask Jesus for forgiveness. Well, I want to look at something today that St. Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And he tells the believer, the people that have accepted Jesus. Now, this otherwise, it doesn't count. Though you have to accept Jesus. And those accept Jesus, he says, ye are complete in him. A complete Christ makes a complete people. And so you need Jesus and you have completion. A story is told of when King George V of Britain once paid a visit to the city of Leeds. Elaborate preparations were made for his coming, and excited crowds filled the streets to wave and cheer. There was a large elementary school in Leeds with a playground which ran alongside the railway line. And so His Majesty agreed to wave to the boys and girls as the royal train passed by on the last day of his visit. So the boys and the girls crowded to the playground and watching, overlooking the railway. Presently, from a long tunnel, the royal train slowly emerged and gradually drew alongside the playground. And then the king came outside the royal coach, stood on a small platform where he stood and where all could see him. He wore no crown or purple robe, but he was dressed in a plain suit, just like an ordinary man. And from his pocket, he took a bright handkerchief in which he waved to the cheering children. And they were all excited and thrilled, but all too soon, the train glided by and disappeared. Then the cheers subsided into silence, and everybody was quiet except one little girl, and she's crying her eyes out, just sobbing. And so much so that the teacher went to her and said, why are you crying like that, my dear? And the little girl sputtered through her tears, I wanted to see the king, and I only saw a man. I wanted to see the king, only saw a man. There are many people who see Jesus as only a man. But I want to tell you, Buster, he is a king. He was born as a man among men, a tiny baby like that. No halo, no angels or anything like that. He was born into this world like all the rest of us, except he was without sin. He lived among men. He didn't ride a fiery steed. He didn't come in a chariot flashing around and all of that. And he died among men. He suffered like no man ever man. He died between two thieves on the cross. He looked like a man, always like a man. But don't miss it, my friends. He was and is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the sovereign one. He is the God incarnate. He is Almighty God and the Ancient of Days. Let's not miss who he was just because he dressed the humble dress of the people about him. Take a closer look at him, and you'll see he's God Almighty in human flesh, except without sin. He is above and beyond all limitations of character. Yeah, he had all perfection. Some people have parts of it. We're like Job. He had patience. And Jeremiah had a tender heart. And Moses had meekness. And Paul had a burning zeal. And John had a love. And Isaiah had redemption. They all had one particle, little part of it. But Jesus had all of it in one. The character of Jesus Christ is the pinnacle of all men. And you can know he has no peers. You can't compare him to anybody because he's above all. He is God. He is God coming among us to redeem us to Christ, to bring us to God. He is beyond all limitations of culture. That is, he doesn't belong to any tribe or generation. He belongs to all, the yellow and as well as the white, the red as well as the black, and makes no difference to God what the skin might be. He is beyond all limitations of time. It's not just temporary. It is eternal. He belongs to all of the ages. He is perfect. He is complete Christ indeed. And so, I might add, he walked among men, and being in Christ, he gives us the forgiveness of sins, and all we are in Christ, and when we're in Christ, we are complete. We have all that Jesus has. He gives to us, and we're joined heirs with Christ. It's hard to imagine. You can't believe it, but it is true because God tells us in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He tells us in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's his promise. And he tells us today, if we will come to him and put our faith in him, we will be complete. For instance, our redemption is complete in Christ. Men have worried since the beginning of time, how can I be right with God? And and over the ages, they've tried all kinds of things. They have tried to live good lives, and they tried to go through all the rituals and ceremonies. They have tried to give money. They have cut their bodies until they bled. Listen to me, friends. They've given their little babies, their little children as sacrifices so that they could please God and get rid of their sin. They've done everything they possibly could do. And so we can tell you today, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all of our sins. God tells us in Colossians 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sins. Redemption saves us from our sins, washes them all away. He tells us in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because it says, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus is cursed as he hangs on the tree so that he could pay for our sins and wash us clean. If we would trust him, you've got to receive him. It'll not happen until you do. And then again in 1 Corinthians 1:30, about of him ye are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our redemption is complete in Christ. And our justification is complete in Jesus. We are completely justified in Christ. Paul preached in Antioch and Pisidia, and he said in Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. He says we are completely justified. And justification means just as if I'd never sinned. They're all washed away. And he says our sins and iniquities will be put away forever. Listen to him in Hebrews 8, verse 12. Listen carefully, friends, if you're battling with your sins. If you accept Jesus and ask him into your heart, ask him to take away your sins and promise to serve him the best you can and thank him for it. In your own words, do that. If you make that prayer, this is what he said. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8, verse 12, they're gone. And that is the way it will be when we meet Jesus in heaven. We'll have all of our sins gone, and we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we come there and we have those sins of the past and we think about them and we'll say we want to forgive sins, and Jesus will say, "You don't have any sins. I don't see any sins. All I see is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ." You can't believe it, but you've got to believe it because God says it. And so he will, and he washes away all of our sins, past, present, future. Now, many people say, oh, I know that he forgives me for the past, but from now on, I'm on probation. And if I do something wrong, I'll be lost. Listen to me, friends. When Jesus died on the cross, we hadn't committed any of our sins. I hadn't committed a single one. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of them, the past, the present, and the future. And they're all paid, and they're all gone. And that's the justification. We're justified in Christ. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And then we're also, our sanctification is in Christ, is complete. Through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we're cleansed within. We're sanctified, and sanctified simply means separated. It doesn't mean something that you know with a halo around it and wings and all of the rest. It means just set. You can sanctify this table. You can set it apart for God. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we're set apart. We're sanctified. And that sanctification is complete. Paul talks about this. It's the 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is through Jesus Christ, the wonderful Savior, we are set apart for God. And because we're separated apart from God, the devil can't touch us. And sometimes he tempts us and so forth. But the devil can't do one thing that God doesn't allow. And the devil's on a leash. And sometimes God lets the devil test us to make us stronger, to make us purer, to make us cleaner. Maybe we're proud and he's got to bring us down because God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And so the devil cannot enter our bodies. He cannot inhabit us because in 1 John 4, verse 4, we are told, he that is within you is greater than he that is without. The Holy Spirit is within us when we accept Jesus. And the devil couldn't inhabit your life if he wanted to. He can tempt us and so forth, whatever the Lord allows. But he is on a leash. And our sanctity, we're separated unto God. It's complete in Jesus. And then our peace is complete in Jesus. The world has no peace. This is seen in many ways. We've seen it in the restlessness of the world. They're always craving for something, and they never have peace. And we today have a peace that is complete and perfect, but it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. If you haven't accepted Jesus, you have to do it yourself. You choose your eternity. You choose the hell with, or you choose the devil in hell, or you choose Jesus. You can't have both. And you say, "Oh, I'm going to be neutral." Jesus says, "He, if you're not for me, you're against me. No neutrality." So you're one or the other, and you decide. All alone, can't blame the preacher, you can't blame your wife or your friends or anybody else. You decide where you're going to be. You decide if you want heaven or you want hell. And if you want hell, you just stay where you are and just live the way you are. But if you want heaven, you come to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness and salvation. And when you do that, you'll have peace in your heart. Jesus tells us in John 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulations, but he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. We have a joy and a peace we cannot explain, and the world can't understand it, and the world can't give it to us, and the world can't take it from us. And if you want this peace, you go to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about that wonderful peace when he talked to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verse 14. And it goes like this, for he is our peace, who you have made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. He and this wonderful Lord is our peace. And when we have Jesus, we have that peace. And so we sing a song. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. And then the chorus, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father of Dove above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Do you want peace? You want gentleness? You want satisfaction? You come to Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. And then we have a triumph over our spiritual foes. We are, it's complete in him. Well, there's a battle raging. If you want to read about it, you can read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. And there's a spiritual warfare going on. But when we have Jesus, we're in Jesus, that can never harm us or hurt us. And we trust him and we're dressed in him to go to fight. And we stand against the evil one and resist the devil, James says, and he'll flee from you because he's a dirty coward. And then we have triumph over death. And so that is over in, so we don't need to worry. And that's what Paul was, that's what David was saying. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil because you are with me. You watch over me and you'll help me. And I never have to fear. And so our resurrection and our glory becomes complete in him. And Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, and he shall deliver up the kingdom of God even to the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. How he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest as he is expected, which he did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued, he said, there shall he be subject unto him. And all shall be put under Christ. Our complete in Christ, our resurrection, our eternal life is all put in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus tells us, he tells us about the wonderful things that we can have in him, but we have to make that acceptance of him. We have to come to Jesus and ask him to come into our heart. There has to be that time when you say, oh, dear Jesus. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And that is, he is calling all men. And we're told, Jesus says, and I, if I will be lifted up, that is, if I be crucified, I will draw all men. He's drawing the whole world. He's drawing you right now. There's something to you if you've never accepted Jesus. And it's just saying, I just want Jesus. And I want him in my heart, but I don't know what to do. And Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And how do you accept him? How do you accept anybody? You say, Jesus, come into my heart. Please come into my heart. Use your own words and just say, I'm a sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I ask you to take away my sins and be my Savior, and I want to follow you and serve you all the days of my life. And when you make that prayer, he'll come into your heart, and you'll be his forever and ever. Oh, I pray that there'll be multitudes. I just know there are multitudes. And when you do that, you have assurance, full assurance, because he tells us in John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, I preached it the best I know how. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, right that minute, and believeth on me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. So you just break that prayer in your own words. And if you've done that, then you can write to us. We'll send you some literature. Or what you need to do is get into a church where they're preaching the Bible and then read the Bible every day. And I suggest you start with the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is a beautiful passage. But then read anything you want. But start reading John and read the Bible every day and pray every day. Find Christian friends that know the Lord and walking with the Lord and get in with others. And maybe you're a shut-in and you can't do anything, then the Lord is with you. And you just read his Bible, read the New Testament especially. Old Testament's the Word of God too, but it's a little hard to understand. But just read the Bible and then pray. and then God will help you. Now, if you want to help us and you want the literature, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you on shortwave, I want to give it again. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can send a gift to help us, God knows that we need it. And James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they don't know it. And so we do have a need. And we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or denomination. We're just dependent on God's people, on you. So you say, dear Jesus, shall I help these people? Is this a ministry I want to help? And do what he says. And then you send it there, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. In our prayer today, you know, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so this week, we're going to pray for the church in Iran. And so, dear Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to thank you for the multitudes of people that are making that prayer right now for you to come into their heart. And you're entering their life, and you'll never leave them or forsake them. And then, dear Lord, I want to pray, we're all praying for the people in Iran. All over the world, we're praying for our brothers and sisters there. Some of them put to death. Some of them suffering, some of them scattered abroad, don't know where the family is. Some of them suffering right now. Help them to know as they listen on shortwave radio, as they worship with us, help them to know that we love them and we're praying for them and we're encouraged by their life. They are a blessing to us. Encourage them. And Lord, those who are shut-ins, those who are on beds of sickness and can't get around, help them to lean on you and know you'll never leave them or forsake them. And the young people, dear Lord, help them and the children. All of us, we need you. And we just give ourselves to you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we hope that you'll write. We're dependent on your help. And then we'll all pray. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back again. Maybe the Lord will come. Maybe he'll take some of us home. We don't know. We don't care. We're just walking with the Lord. And so next week, though, we'll plan to be back. And you pray for us. We'll pray for you. You know, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're going to all this work. We're just doing it because we want to help you to come to know Jesus. And we want to instruct, comfort ye, my people, God told Isaiah. Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring comfort and hope and help. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.